College Volleyball Weekly, The Beach Report, with Charlie Ekstrom of Stanford, Matt Fitzpatrick of Florida State, and Rob on the mic. Now here are your hosts for The Weekly Report.
Hey everyone, I'm Rob Sparrow with the Viral Volley Podcast. Can't thank you enough for clicking in, and it is an exciting week, not only for me, but the ladies, my contributors, my excellent co-hostesses. We got Charlie Ekstrom of Stanford University representing the left coast, and we've got Matt Fitzpatrick of Florida State University representing the right coast. So a lot of stuff coming out this week, and you know, even before we got on the call, you guys saying, happy opening week, all smiles and cheery, and you know, it is an exciting time because a lot of reasons. See, COVID has been really bogging everyone down, and it's been a big bummer, no doubt, but with all the volleyballs now kicking back in and beach kicking into this first week of the season with some great teams, which is what we're here to talk about. You know, we're ready to get firing in this season. I'm sure you guys are traveling and playing this week as well. So we're going to get our fans all involved here. So let's start off with the first order of business, or the first topic. And that was the release of the College Beach VB preseason awards. And I wanted to get you as players' thoughts on some of the selections. So you know, on that committee were Christy Jones, former Cal Poly standout, AVP Pro, Travis Muerter, writer for not only volleyballmag.com, but also the FIVB Beach portion, Anne Marie Anderson and Holly McPeak, Wayne Holly, and yours truly, but I'm not going to reveal my votes. So but, let's throw it to you as players who are totally dialed into the game. You've played against some of these players. You've seen them over the years. I'm curious as to who you would have chosen as newcomer of the year. And we will start with the right coast with Matt Fitzpatrick of Florida State.
Yes. I honestly, I know this doesn't sound like an individual idea, but I would agree with you on the newcomer of the year. I mean, she was placing in international tournaments, and then that fifth in AVP Hermosa, so impressive, Delaney Maple coming in with all that. So I would definitely pick her as well.
All right, let's bounce on over to Charlie Ekstrom of Stanford.
Yeah, I'm going to have to completely agree with that one. I think Delaney Maple, I looked at it, I was like, this is well-deserved. I've known Delaney, probably we go back 6 or 7 years at this point, got that San Diego connection, and she is one of the most hardworking kids that I've ever met and was a force to be reckoned with from the very, very get-go of her entering the beach volleyball scene. I think that, like Mads was saying, with that fifth on the AVP, with her competing internationally, I think that it was pretty easy to pick that. I think the only one that was even in competition with her really at this point was her partner in Meg Kraft, at kind of going back and forth, like who could be newcomer of the year, because they're both just incredibly talented individuals and have produced some incredible results in their junior career.
Solid choices. I agree with you both. Because, you know, I was thinking about, well, you can't really have Delaney without Megan because they were so successful together. But I'm going to throw another name in there as a wild card because she didn't have a partner as talented as, you know, the combo of Megan and Delaney as a team. But Tessa Van Winkle, I was very impressed with her when I saw her in 2019 in that summer competition series that happens that month in Santa Monica, Manhattan, Hermosa, with between the all the different, you know, junior club tournaments that are going on. But great blocker, just like her sister Abby. I thought that she could be in the conversation as well. But you know, Megan Kraft was definitely in that conversation. I'm curious, like with some of the new faces that you're seeing at like Florida State on the East Coast, what other names from your region or that have committed to those left, right coast schools could have been in that discussion?
That's a great question. I think that honestly, any of our freshmen could have been in that discussion. Raylan White and Caitlin Moon are both just so wise beyond their years at beach volleyball. Like they are so experienced already as freshmen. So I really feel like either of them could have been in the discussion, yes.
Yeah. And then you mentioned Zelani Hodel is your teammate. And I actually got to see her play a little bit. And I was like, whoa, this one's flying beneath the radar. I almost feel like she could have been in that discussion as well.
I completely agree with that one as well. It's actually funny. I had Zelani and I had Caitlin Moon both on my list as well of two freshmen that are definitely forces also to be looked out for. I think Zolani, as well as Maya Harvey and Kate Riley, two of our other freshmen, the three of them have just already contributed so much to our team. And I'm so excited for them to be a part of it and to keep on contributing here.
Oh, excellent. Excellent choices there. Let's go to the next category of the preseason awards for collegebeachvb.com. Surprise team of the year. The team that got it was Florida Atlantic University. Wanted to get both your thoughts on that selection. We'll start with Charlie this time.
Yeah, I think we've talked about FAU in the past, and I think that FAU has put up some crazy high win records at their top three spots. I thought that this was another well-earned, well-deserved title. I think that the school that we've kind of talked about in competition with them that might like give them a run for their money of surprise team might be FIU, because they had a very, very similar circumstance to FAU with high win records and a high level of competition. So I think that that was kind of, both of those schools really are kind of my surprise teams. I'm excited to see what happens with them.
Yep. How are you, Mads? Thoughts on the surprise team of the year, FAU?
Yeah, I completely agree. FAU, we play them so much, and they're all such grinders. They're all underdogs, and or they're always underdogs, and it's always fun playing them because you never really know what you're going to get. Like, they're swinging straight down. They're going over on one. They practice, like, in Boca. It's really, really windy, so they practice under really hard conditions, and I feel like that makes them the grinding underdog team that they are, for sure.
You know, I'll reveal, I actually chose them as my surprise team here. Sorry, Charlie. you were in the discussion though for me, but and it's because of discovering Mackenzie Morris and Erica Brock. You know, yeah, they were 9-1 at the number one, but I kind of dove into their lineup in the 3-4-5, and they lost a total of maybe 6 sets during the shortened season. So I'm like, that's a scary combo or a scary team that you're going against. So I think that was a great call. But I wanted to ask you both, what other teams could have been in that conversation? We'll start with Mads.
Yeah, so I had LMU in that conversation with Darby Dunn, Savannah Slattery, and Emma Dowd. Mm-hmm. They're all really, really good players. And LMU always puts up a great fight with upsetting Pepperdine a few years back. So I would definitely have LMU in that category.
Yeah, you know, I've got a question off of yours, though. Where does Ia Lindahl fall within the LMU court system there? She 1, 2, 3, 4? I mean, it seems like they got some talent there. Coach John Mayer's got a good thing there.
He really does. He's really good at recruiting.
How about you, Charlie? Thoughts on other teams in that discussion?
Yeah, I actually also had LMU down. I had FIU down as well, just because FIU always puts up that really, really high competitive value. I think, like you were saying just now, LMU has a really good depth to their roster that they've not even had before, and they've already put up good upsets. And I think that another team that's been pretty known for their upsets, specifically of 2 upsets against USC in the past, is South Carolina. Right. And so I think that that's always a team that you kind of have to keep your eye open for the potential for an upset.
Right. Good call. Final topic or final award of the College Beach VB preseason awards is the breakthrough player of the year. Taryn Cloth of LSU was named that person. Want to get your thoughts, and we'll start with Mads there on the right coast.
Yes, I could not agree more with that selection. Yes, I'm angry that LSU's got such great players, but no, I'm actually excited. I love competing against LSU, but she is incredible. She's a huge blocker, so aggressive, really fun to watch. So I couldn't agree more with that selection.
How about you, Charlie?
Again, absolutely could not agree more. Taryn Cloth literally just has one of the most ridiculous blocks I've seen. I remember last year in the season opener tournament in Hawaii, LSU was out there with us as well as UCLA in Hawaii, and she was named the best blocker on the beach in her debut beach volleyball tournament as a beach only player. And literally ever since then, she's just kind of just astronomically shot up with these improvements and with these just kind of savviness to the game that she's learned so fast. And I'm so impressed by how much she's been able to do. I think somebody that I was always looking out for, not so much as a breakthrough season, but a comeback season, is Tori Van Winden this year at FSU. She mm-hmm. didn't quite have the full season last year to have that comeback from injury. And I'm really excited to see her fully back out and fully able to compete.
Yep. All right, Matt, your turn to take a shot at it. Who's your breakthrough player of the year? Obviously, you agreed, and it probably hurts you to say LSU player, but.
No, I love when they get girls. I love competing against them. But I would definitely have Tori Van Winden in that conversation. I know she didn't get the full season before, and she is so talented, and her accolades are just through the roof. So I'm really excited to see how she helps us out this year.
Yeah. You know, one of the names that, you know, when I was doing my selection, you know, the criteria is kind of subjective, but I feel like Julia Scholes could have been in there because she transferred from Hawaii and is now paired up with Haley Harvard, at least over the summer, and they didn't lose a single tournament match. So, you know, I was kind of hoping for that one tournament where Taryn Cloth and Kristen Nuss and Haley Harvard and Julia Scholes would show up so they can go head to head. But it finally took a pair of Brazilian international stars to beat Taryn and Kristen. I was wondering what was going to happen with this collegiate beach matchup if they end up going. But Julia Scholes, everything I've seen of her, especially at Waupaca, the boat ride tournament, girl's got an arm and she can play. And, you know, I interviewed her probably early on in COVID and asked her about her beach experience. She said she had very minimal beach experience. It was the concussion that caused her to play beach. So she'd been playing less than 2 years. So natural athlete, just like Taryn Cloth. I'm going, yeah. She's got to be a breakout as well.
No, I completely agree with you on that one. I adore Julia and absolutely like everything about her. She's just an incredible athlete and an incredible beach volleyball player. The fact that she came to the scene so late and has hopped in and been a force and just been absolutely incredible with everything that she's done. Like we saw her at Hawaii. And so I don't even know if I thought of her as a breakthrough just because I've seen her at Hawaii so many times in the past and always thought, oh crap, there's Julia Scholes. She's whipping it out. And so I don't even know if she crossed my mind as a breakthrough, but you're so right because that girl is ridiculously talented and so like great volleyball player, great human being, love her.
Anything else to add there, Mads?
No, that was very well said. I agree.
Well, you know, one of the things like, so knowing Haley Harvard, I'm like, so tell me about your partner. And when Haley says she hits harder than herself, I'm like, I got to pay attention. She says, Haley hits the ball hard.
Very hard.
So let's go into our week one. We've got a lot of duels coming up. And I know that you guys will be keeping an eye on your own duels, but I'm curious what Mads and Charlie are watching during this week one, and feel free to select 1 to 3. I mean, because there's a lot happening and, you know, it's an exciting week, no doubt. So we'll start with you, Mads.
Yes, I'm really looking forward to, because obviously I'm a Charlie fan, seeing number 19 Stanford versus number 10 Pepperdine. I think that's going to be a really, really solid matchup. I'm also looking forward to the CCSA conference matchup. So number 12 FAU versus number 11 Stetson. I think that's going to be a really, really hard game. And then number 12 FAU versus number 13 FIU. I think that all those games are just going to be really, really intense.
Nice. Nice choices. How about you, Charlie?
I'm flattered that I made it into there with our Stanford games. I'm going to go first off on the East Coast. I'm going to look at the FAU versus FIU showing of number 12 versus number 13 as well as that FAU versus Stetson game. I think both of those are going to be absolute battles on those two back-to-back days. Those kind of 11, 12, 13 spots are kind of up for grabs with those three teams to see who's going to take who. And then I think going back, supporting our West Coast side out on the East Coast is LMU versus FSU. I'm really excited to see the results of that game. That's going to be a battle as well. And then lastly, wrapping things up, I'm really excited to see Pepperdine at USC to start off things on Thursday this week.
You know, I'm going to have to add into this one just because I'm totally excited because I want to be able to throw down some of my the geeky fan in me. So I agree with you on that first one. I'm going to go chronological order. So Pepperdine at USC because the dweeb in me wants to know where is everyone going to line up in that USC lineup because we all know they're stacked. And we don't know who everyone's going to be partnering up with for sure. Like, who's playing with Tina Graudina? Julia and Haley Harvard are probably going to be together, and Delaney Maple and Megan Kraft and the Norses. But where are they going to end up in which court is what I'm wondering. Definitely watching that one. And LSU, they're at the Houston Baptist tournament, but let's be real. It's they're kicking off the year number one in the poll, AVCA poll. And I want to see what they're going to do. And I want to see if it's going to be Turncloth and Kristen Nuss, or is Kristen back with Claire Coppola? You know, so many question marks, but regardless, they're going to be solid. One that's going to involve your team though, Mads, is Cal Poly at number three, FSU. And here are my notes on this. Molly McBain, Elena Chacon. I think Elena is your roommate. 13-0 in 2020. Is that right?
Yes. So proud of her.
Strong number one court players for sure. But what is Cal Poly going to come out there with? They have transfer from Hawaii, Amy Ozy now. I want to see where she falls in that lineup. And Cal Poly is good. And I've seen Todd Rogers coaching, and he gets everything and that much more out of them. So it's not going to be an easy one, but, you know, it's going to be an exciting duel to watch. And I think both of you have cited the FAU-FIU matchup. I mean, senior leadership in Erica Brock and Mackenzie Morris, and both these teams, their 3-4-5 courts all had intense winning records. So, you know, they could be the deciding factors in that duel. So, and then of course, Charlie, for obvious reasons, I'm looking forward to Stanford at UCLA because I will be on the mic and on that stream calling that, and also the MC host. So, and as with yours, when you're back here in LA, Matt, so I'm excited about that.
Can't wait.
We're going to try something new. We've been doing it on the men's edition of College Volleyball Weekly. We are in the beach edition, if you haven't figured that out, because these are not men, at least on the screen, men's indoor volleyball players. But we did a lightning round this morning with the guys, and we're going to do it with our ladies here from Volley Talk of all places, just fan questions that they had for them. And they're going to be easy, quick answers for our ladies. So here's question number one. After watching Nuss and Cloth dismantle teams from around the country, how close are we at seeing one of the top three beach volleyball teams in the U.S. reside in the NCAA Collegiate Beach? Start with you, Charlie.
Yeah, I can start really quick. I think the NCAA is producing kind of these top teams now. We look now at kind of the teams that are dominating on the FIVB circuit with Kelly Clays, with Sarah Sponsel, with Sarah Hughes. All of these girls coming out of the NCAA game, they're kind of like those founding members of the NCAA beach volleyball circuit. And I think teams like Kristen and Taryn, teams like Haley and Julia are going to be kind of that future. And teams, I mean, the college game is what's next with the future of USA Volleyball.
All right. How about you, Mads?
I agree. It's really cool to see how quickly beach volleyball has been advancing through the years. Like, the girls are starting to be so good at so young. And I think a great example of that is Sarah Sponsel, like just at her record and how amazing she's done just right out of college. So I definitely see NCAA players making more advances in the FIVB and Olympics soon out.
Excellent. All right. Our next question. Is there anything in the college game you would want to change? We'll go with Mads on this one first.
So I love the new AVP rule, the freeze at the end. I wouldn't mind seeing that incorporated in college.
You want the freeze rule in college?
It's so entertaining to watch. I don't know if I would love to play it, but I know I love watching it. So maybe to make it more entertaining, we could try that.
All right, nice. How about you, Charlie?
Oh my gosh, I've never thought of incorporating the freeze, but I actually... playing in the freeze in the past, I have loved playing in the freeze, won some games coming out of the freeze, loved that. So that would be a really fun inclusion. Honestly, though, like Mads was saying, like, I absolutely love the college game so far. And I love that there's the team aspect to it. Like, I love that you have to win 3 out of 5. I love that there's more than just two people on the court. It's the only place in the world where you can get that is in NCAA beach volleyball. And you've got that team factor that you might not get in the big worldly scene.
Right. Well, let's just thank Donald Sun for incorporating the freeze rule for the AVP and adding that entertaining factor then. All right, question number three. Do you wish there were more pairs tournaments? We'll start with Charlie on this one.
Yeah, I think I go back and forth on this one because USA puts on some pairs tournaments at the end of the year. And I think that there are more pair-oriented tournaments in preseason. And so I think that I think that there's kind of an ample amount. I think that there's enough in the college scene and there's enough outside of college where we get a lot of pairs tournaments there. And so I think that it's if you want more Paris tournaments, play more Paris tournaments outside of season. But I think it's really important to kind of have that team aspect and keep that 3 out of 5, keep that kind of unison there when in season and when competing with teams in season.
Great. How about you, Matt's thoughts on having more Paris tournaments?
I agree full-heartedly. I think that there's definitely enough Paris tournaments. I know that one that USA puts on at the end of the year is really, really fun for all of us just to go out there and compete individually. But no, I love the team aspect of beach volleyball. And that's such fun part of college. I wouldn't change anything about it.
All right. That's and the final question.
Fun fact about that USA Paris tournament, that's actually where Mads and I met my freshman year and her sophomore year. And so I think we both kind of have a little bit of a love for that.
Is that the USA Collegiate Beach Championships?
Yep, it is.
And that was the event that I was on the mic for.
Small world. We had no idea we knew each other.
Well, that's how I discovered Charlie's cannon arm, after seeing her play in high school. I'm like, wait, you play beach?
And that incredible serve.
Yeah. Well, here's our final question. I know we discussed it a little bit beforehand, but it's an interesting response. Obviously, just being a fan, I don't get the perspective that both of you have. But there are articles and a ton of talk that this spring beach college season is a wash. Does that mean that these girls get another season? It doesn't seem fair that they have a compromised season and they won't get another year of eligibility. We'll start with you, Mads. I think that you're the last one who was talking. We talked before coming on.
I'm very happy that we all got the extra year of eligibility from this past season that we lost. So I think we're all satisfied with that extra year. I don't see this as being a compromised season, even though some teams have had less practice time. I think we're taking this as seriously as can be. And this is just a full-on regular season that we've been waiting for so long.
All right. And Charlie, what's your take on it?
Mads couldn't have put it in a better way. I in no way think of this as a compromised season. I think that there were some compromised practice situations with my team included being one of those teams that had just a very shortened practice kind of time frame. But I would not say that our team, as well as any other team that kind of had that adjusted practice schedule, would consider our season to be compromised. I think everybody's going in hungry to play and ready to fight. And I think that that's actually going to make this season almost better in a way. We've got a lot of stacked teams. We've got a heavy amount of competition. And like Mads was saying, with that extra year that we got back last year, everybody's hungry to play. I think that this season's going to be even more competitive than any season that's ever happened before.
Wow. Spoken like true studs or studettes. Well, I'm going to throw a fan solicited question with me being the fan. Obviously, with the men's season starting up, one of the things that we're seeing are some blowouts in like the first set, like 25-9, 25-6, but teams getting back on track and coming back and maybe winning. Should we expect the same thing in Collegiate Beach? And I'll start with you, Charlie, on this one.
That's a great question. I think maybe. I think that there might be some jitters, those like first game back, first tournament back after a year of being not able to compete with your team. There might be a little bit of jitters there. But like you were saying, I think after that first set, things are going to start to kick in and gears are going to start to get turning and competition's just going to ramp up. It might start that way, but there is a chance for a little bit of craziness in that first set to start.
If your last name is Cloth or Nuss, probably not, but... They'll be applying it to the other people. How about you, Mates?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that year-long break means that there's just been so much anticipation bubbling up inside of all of us, and that could cause a little bit of the yips. Do you guys know what the yips is?
Yes.
Please inform me I'm sorry, not me. I know, of course, no, but for all of us lay people that don't know what yips.
So the yips is just when like your motor skills and your movements and your skills, you just can't do anything right. It's just like, nothing's going right for you. You're fine mentally. It's just like your body is not moving in the way that you want it to. So I could see that possibly happening just because of how long we've been off, and we could maybe kind of forget what it's like to actually compete against other teams. Mm-hmm. I could see that happening, but that's not going to happen for FSU.
All right. Well, hey, ladies, a lot of great information in this episode of College Volleyball Weekly, the Beach Edition, our coast-to-coast report. That's Charlie Ekstrom of Stanford University, Mads Fitzpatrick of Florida State, who all start off this week. Looking forward to catching you next week, and hopefully with some good results for your squads. And just even diving into the action that we see. Thanks for coming on, ladies.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Hey, y'all. Thanks for listening to today's episode of the Viral Volley Podcast Podcast. Be sure to follow Rob at Rob on the Mic on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, or at robonthemic.com. Check you next time.